Well, good morning, TNC family, on this final Sunday in February, where today here, we are in a six-part series where each week we are considering a single verse from the scriptures, a verse to dwell on, memorize, and let deeply soak into our hearts and minds in a way that can help us experience the presence of the divine in the universe and the goodness of God in our lives. And here's today's text from Psalm 102, the words of the psalmist speaking to God, verse 25. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Yet they will perish. You remain, you will endure, but they will wear out like a garment, and like clothing you will change them. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. It's a statement about what doesn't change when everything is changing. And pretty much everything is changing from day to day, season to season, generation to generation. And this feels especially true in our era, where the social, cultural, and political landscape is changing at a faster pace than ever. Three generations ago, the average person entering the workforce could expect to hold four jobs in a 40-year career. Today, that number is 12. Three generations ago, there were basically three television networks. People changed the channel between. Today, there are hundreds. Three generations ago, information changed or was updated by libraries or information centers quarterly or semi-annually. Today, information is updated and changed by the minute. Three generations ago, politicians pretty much stayed in the same political party for their entire lives. Today, politicians change positions and parties multiple times each election cycle. Change. Evolution, devolution, revolution, global, refugees and migrants, genders and gendering, addiction and depression, ecological extinctions, climate change, genetic engineering, robotics, AI, information technology, nanotechnology, increasing lifespans and standards of living, change. And some of the change is great, especially the change I initiate, purchase, upgrade, and vote for. And actually, it turns out, humans tend to like the change they initiate, but they aren't too sure about the change you initiate or impose. I mean, if I give notice and quit the job, great. But if you fire me, not so great. And if I file the paperwork, okay, that'll work. But if you file it, no thank you. And if I suggest that we modify the plan, it's probably a good idea. But if you try to tweak the plan, well, whoa, give me a minute. Because I don't mind so much the change I initiate, but I'm not real fond of the change I'm not ready for. And yet, part of the human journey is change. Said another way, if you want a change-free, pain-free, strain-free life, then you've chosen the wrong planet and the wrong species, because the present is changing and the future is uncertain, and even the past may change for you. I listened to an interview with Derek Sivers some time ago, the author, programmer, entrepreneur, and musician who graduated from the Berklee College of Music, started a company called CD Baby, which took off beyond his wildest expectations, after which he sold it for $22 million. And what did he do with the $22 million? He gave all the money away to charity. All of it. And in an interview recently, he talked about how even the past can seem to change. I'm quoting him now. We tend to think of the past like it's a concrete thing, but it's not. When I was 17, I was in a car crash in Hinsdale, Illinois. I moved too quickly through a yield sign, crashed into an oncoming car, and in the days afterwards, someone told me that the woman in the oncoming car that I hit, that I broke her spine and she would never walk again. This was about a month before I went off to the University of Boston, and while there, I carried this burden with me. Every now and then, the thought of what I had done consumed me. That there is some woman somewhere that will never walk again because I blew off that yield sign. Until after 16 years in my mid-30s, I was back in Hinsdale, Illinois, and I thought, I'm going to find that woman that I hit. And I did, and I showed up at her door and knocked on the door, and she answered, and I said, "Hi, my name is Derek. I'm the one that, when I was a teenager, I hit your car." And I started crying. It was like all this pent-up burden, years of regret just came out. I started crying on her doorstep, and she replied, "Oh, sweetie, sweetie, don't worry, don't worry. Here, come in." And she walked me into her living room, walked. And it took me a second to put this together because I was upset. But then she explained that, yes, she broke a vertebra in that crash, but it healed and she's been walking just fine. And no one ever told her she'd never walk again. But then she went on and she told me that she was a lot heavier then. "I was a compulsive eater," she said, "and that's the reason I hit you. I was eating, looking down and not paying attention to the road." And she said, "That accident really turned me around because I realized what a compulsive eater I was, that I actually, you know, hit some poor innocent teenager because I was eating." And I said, "Wait, you didn't hit me. I hit you because I blew off the yield sign." And she said, "No, sweetie, I hit you because I was eating." And she goes, "Wait, all these years you thought that you hit me?" And then she started crying, and in that moment we realized we had both been holding on to a story of what happened and both feeling guilty about it for 16 years. And then, in this interview I was listening to TNC, the interviewer asked Sivers, "So what do you take away from all of this? What's the lesson?" His answer, quote, "That every story anybody tells you about their own past, here's what happened. This person wronged me. That person said they were going to do something, and then they didn't. He hurt me back then. I hurt her back then. All these stories we carry with us of the people who have wronged us, or that somebody is just bad and evil, and that what happened I'll never be able to see differently about. It's a great reminder that there's always another perspective. There's always another version of that story. And the one that you've told yourself and been carrying around as truth, or the one that someone else tells you, is probably not the only version of that story. Even our view of the past can and will change." And so, here's a really important question. What can you count on in a changing world? Because some people say, well, the only thing you can count on is more change. But the psalmist in the scriptures has a different answer. Psalm 102, "The things in the heavens and on earth, they will change, they will wear out, but you, O God, remain the same, and your years will never end," which means that one of the great truths about God is that in a world where you can't always be certain about a lot, you can count on God. Or as the Apostle James writes, "Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows." We live in a shadowy world, he says, and shadows are always there, but God doesn't change. And so I want to mention now four things rooted in the scriptures about God that don't change. And I want to ask you now to consider as I go through these, and this will take some work on your part, how can these realities about God be a part of your life amid all the change that you're facing? So here's number one, God's plan hasn't changed. I mean, compare God in Genesis 1 with God in Isaiah 53, with God in John chapter 1, with God in Revelation 22, and it's pretty much the same. Which is to say, from the very beginning, all God wanted, all God was up to, was forming a people he could love and bless, be with, and co-create with. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, God's prime directive to Adam and Eve is twofold, avad and shamar, cultivate and care for all of the created order. Love and care for dirt and sky, trees and flowers, plants and animals, as well as each other. And don't just maintain stuff, increase and grow and add beauty. Join a band and make music. Sit by a lake and write great poetry. Team up with some folks and design and build buildings. Care for rose gardens, vegetable gardens, train gardens, plant trees, protect the atmosphere, pay attention to pollution, lift up the poor, the widow, and the alien in distress. Love others as you love yourself, avad and shamar. Make sure that not a day goes by that you haven't thought, "Have I brought light into darkness? Have I brought order into chaos?" Because that plan of God for our universe has never changed. And the steadiness of that plan can bring an anchor to your life's storms and a North Star amid political, social, and cultural setbacks, roadblocks, detours. God's plan hasn't changed. Now here's something else about God that doesn't change. The availability of God's presence hasn't changed, which means even if you feel alone, you're not alone. Tony Campolo, the sociologist, speaker, and author who passed away just a few months ago, he often told the story of going to a funeral home to pay his respects to the family of an acquaintance, where, by mistake, he ended up in the wrong parlor that held the body of an elderly man, and in which the man's widow was the only non-clergy, non-staffed mourner present. "She seemed so lonely," he said, "that I decided to stay for the funeral. I even drove to the cemetery. At the end of the graveside service, I finally confessed that I had not known her husband." "I know," she replied, "but it doesn't really matter," and she squeezed my arm. "You'll never ever know what this means to me to not be alone." Because TNC, nobody wants to be alone. Or as Henry Nouwen writes, "No one can even stay alive when nobody is waiting for them. Everyone who returns from a long and difficult trip," he writes, "or even just a long day at work, is looking for someone waiting for them at the station, airport, or at home, because everyone wants to tell their story and share their moments of pain and exhilaration with someone who is waiting for them." And he goes on to write about how God is always waiting for us. And he quotes Revelation 3, where Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and be with them." Because God's desire to be present with us has never changed. Which means, TNC, make sure that not a day goes by that you haven't brought to your mind, to your consciousness, the truth that God is present in the universe with you wherever you go, wherever you are. And here's a third thing about God that doesn't change when everything is changing. God's personality hasn't changed. Which is awesome, because have you ever woken up like on the wrong side of the bed? Do you ever feel yourself in a bad mood? Do you ever have an off day or give in to the hell of anger or bitterness or victimhood or get frustrated and anxious because you can't control others? Well, God never does. As the psalmist says, chapter 89, "With my mouth I will make known to all generations your faithfulness and unchanging goodness." Now, TNC, think about that. God will always be faithful. God has never desired to withhold mercy. God has never been tempted to hold a grudge. You don't have to walk on eggshells or tiptoe around. What mood is God in today? As the author of Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. As Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. His personality doesn't change." And here's a final thing about God that doesn't change. When everything else is changing, the era of God's prime time is always now. Because I love NBA basketball, and in the 1960s, Wilt, Bill, Oscar, Jerry, and Elgin, they were in their prime, or so I'm told. And in the 70s, Kareem and Dr. J were in their prime, and in the 80s, Magic and Larry were in their prime, and in the 90s, it was MJ. In the 2000s, Shaq and Kobe. In the 2010s, LeBron, KD, and Steph. And now it's Giannis, Luka, and the Joker, and soon Wembanyama and Cooper Flagg. Because human strength ebbs away. Human beauty fades. Human vitality diminishes. Human intellect and attractiveness are going to peak. And then the downhill slide will begin. But God's always in his prime. That never changes. Psalm 145. "Your dominion, O God, endures for all eras, all generations." Which means God's wisdom is just as vast. His creativity just as fresh, his hearing just as acute, his heart just as soft, his power over the grave just as sure. God hasn't slowed down, eased up, pulled back, given up, thrown in the towel, raised the white flag, or retired early. God's in his prime, and we are called to experience this never-changing God, the God who longs to partner with us, whose presence is available to us, whose personality is steady, and who is always in his prime. and what's the best way to experience this? Now listen, because what I'm about to say now is one of the most important things I'm going to say today. The primary way that we will experience God's never-changing eternal qualities is through one another, in community with one another. Matthew chapter 18, where two or three are gathered together, God is in their midst. 1 Corinthians 12, we together are the body of Christ. Matthew 25, if you've done something for somebody else, it's like you've done it unto God. Together, somehow, we are connected with how God wants to display his unchanging presence and goodness in the world, which means TNC, cultivate and care for our creation and for others. And don't let any person you know be alone. And be steady in your love and forgiveness and kindness and gentleness in every conversation and interaction. And realize that this is our time. Abraham had his time. Moses had his time. Esther had her time. This is our time to love and serve and give and share. In a world that is ever changing, we can be the never-changing love of God. And to be clear, I'm not saying that we are God. We're not, and yet at the same time, somehow, we're connected to all that God is doing in the world. Psalm 102, God, the things in the heavens and on earth, they will change. They will wear out, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. Let's pray. God, thank you for your unchanging character in a world of change. And thank you for entrusting us to be your hands and feet in this era of human history. May we be vessels of your steady, unchanging love and grace and presence in our families, in our places of work, in our city, in our country, and in our world. Now, TNC, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, would make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, would turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.